It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. On Capitol Hill, the Senate narrowly passed the budget reconciliation bill yesterday, known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, with Vice President J.D. Vance breaking a 50-50 tie.
Tucked into that mega bill is a $67 billion package of farm bills that was the subject of last-minute debate ahead of the vote.
We're checking in on what those provisions are and how they could affect farmers and the food supply in Wisconsin and around the country.
Grace Yarrow is food and agriculture policy reporter for Politico. Grace, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with just a primer first, the farm bill governing so many aspects of our country's food and agricultural systems. It's supposed to be renewed every 5 years. How does this bill intersect with the spending and tax cut package that's being debated in Congress?
Yeah, absolutely. So the farm bill was last passed in 2018. Obviously, we are a couple years late on seeing a new one, given that it's supposed to be every 5 years. And given that sort of stalemate that we saw last year over farm bill negotiations, Republicans started looking a few months ago at including some of the most expensive pieces of the farm bill in this reconciliation package. So they ended up putting, as you said, $67 billion of farm bill spending in there. It'll mainly go to what we call the farm safety net and crop insurance and reference prices. And those are Republican priorities. And the logic is from the Republicans that they will get all of the expensive pieces of the farm bill negotiations done now, and then they'll pass sort of a skinny farm bill later this year with just sort of extensions of some other key programs that didn't get included in reconciliation.
So farm safety net, would those be subsidies?
Yeah, those are big commodity subsidies that you think of for folks that really haven't seen any new policy updates since 2018. Obviously, when you talk to lawmakers and farmers, a lot has changed since 2018. So they have really been desperate for some new policy here. Commodity groups representing big like row crops like corn and soy, beef, meat, poultry, et cetera, have really backed these programs included in reconciliation because it will benefit their members. So they're thrilled about it. But it is a big piece of spending in this bill for sure.
I think I read that these subsidies will then extend to other family members off the farm under this spending package.
Yeah, this ended up being a little bit of a debate on Monday when the Senate was doing their marathon Votorama vote. Chuck Grassley from Iowa, the senator from Iowa, has this long-running idea of making the farm bill subsidies so that they would only benefit one person on the farm and only working farmers and have income limits so that those subsidies aren't going to big farmers is his idea. So he was going to raise that as an amendment. He ended up dropping it in the end, but that did end up being a pretty big conversation on Monday, even while lawmakers were so focused on some other pretty controversial pieces of this bill.
So Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa is a ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, a lifelong farmer. And he got quite a bit of pushback as he proposed this amendment to the bill that would have limited the income threshold for farmers to receive federal aid from some farm bill programs. How would that have worked? Can you kind of tell us about his vision?
Yeah, this is something that he's pushed for a long time. And he didn't end up forcing a vote on it. So the details are TBD, mm-hmm. but yeah, he really wants to prioritize sort of small and medium-sized farms with the farm subsidies. That received a ton of pushback from those big commodity groups that I had mentioned. There was a group of dozens that sent a letter to Senate Majority Leader John Thune over the weekend urging him to make sure that folks opposed this. And then a lot of Republicans also on the Ag Committee in the Senate were really pushing back on Grassley's plan here. But it was an interesting conversation that popped up during this reconciliation process, where that's something that Democrats are also on board with. A lot of them were open to voting for the Republican-led amendment since it would benefit smaller farmers, which is one of their long-running priorities. So It was an interesting flurry of lobbying that we saw over the weekend and on Monday.
Well, here in Wisconsin, farm consolidations and large-scale farms like CAFOs, you know, they have had effects on the small family farms here in Wisconsin that have struggled to stay operational. How might the bill affect small and even medium-sized farm operations?
Yeah, there are some programs included in that $67 billion farm bill section of the reconciliation package that groups in here in DC would argue go to sort of smaller, more niche producers. There's some spending in here for honeybee producers or organic producers, specialty crop producers, and those kinds of things they would argue are more beneficial for smaller farmers. But largely the big commodity spending here does generally go to bigger farmers, which is a decades-long debate as we think about the farm bill. So it just pretty much boosts spending to existing programs. But I mean, it will be interesting to watch. I will say Senator Grassley, in agreement as part of his deal to not force a vote on his amendment, got a commitment from the Senate Agriculture Committee chair, John Bozeman from Arkansas. Senator Bozeman promised Senator Grassley, as we reported, that he would work with Senator Grassley to bring some of these priorities back up in the later farm bill this year.
And that, to me, is so interesting right there, Grace, because I wonder, with the entrenched stalemate we've witnessed over the farm bill and its reauthorization, has that stubborn stalemate maybe softened it all based on what we've just seen around the Big Beautiful Bill negotiations and talks with Grassley?
Yeah, I think that's something to watch out for. The key piece here too is that the farm bill is traditionally passed in a bipartisan way. That has obviously sort of fallen apart in the last couple of years due to disagreements over nutrition and climate spending. But I would note that a lot of those things that Democrats really fiercely oppose still ended up in the reconciliation package, but Democrats have said they won't come to the table on this so-called skinny farm bill later this year. But you know, a lot of that will end up being sort of extensions and not the big expensive, you know, splashy pieces that we're seeing here in reconciliation. Republicans are already carrying out their SNAP spending cuts that they had planned to use to spend for farm programs last year, so It'll be interesting to see how it takes shape. But I think there's some optimism from Republican leaders on the Ag committees in both chambers that once they pass this reconciliation bill, that they can get to work and just pass a pretty basic farm bill, just extending some of the rest of the programs that farmers need.
Talking with Politico's food and agriculture policy reporter Grace Yarrow as we look at farm bill provisions in the U.S. Senate's budget reconciliation bill, which the Senate passed Tuesday. Grace, you talk about SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. You've been reporting on cuts to that program by pushing some of the costs onto states. What might that look like?
Yeah, so it will vary state by state. There was a lot of wrangling in the end that ended up being pretty key to the bill's passage in the end. So the Senate Republican leadership ended up including an exemption for Alaska to secure support from Lisa Murkowski, the Republican senator from Alaska, so that she would vote for the bill. This plan would force some states to start paying for part of SNAP. Currently, they don't pay for any of the SNAP benefits, so it's a pretty big change for a lot of states. And any state under the Senate bill that has an over 6% error rate in SNAP would have to pay for up to 15% of the program. So that depends state by state. Certain states have really, really high error rates, like Alaska, which is why Republicans were looking to give Alaska a little bit more of a cushion from this.
And these error rates are like improper payment rates that could, you know, that should not have been paid or made the incorrect amount. And it can affect, I guess, other agency programs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So these are over and under payments. A lot of the times they're unintentional. They're just like a household receiving SNAP didn't update their income properly, or a worker in one of the state agencies just sort of estimated the SNAP benefits wrongly. So It's more common in other states. Wisconsin, for example, has a really low error payment rate. So, given the data from the last couple of years, Wisconsin may not have to pay for SNAP at all, other than administrative costs under the Republican plan. But yeah, it'll vary state by state, and it'll be interesting to watch how the error payment chain rate changes in the next couple of years.
Okay, so now that the bill has passed the Senate, what are you watching for next?
Lots of drama likely in the House. They are supposed to vote as soon as this morning on a procedural rule to continue with the bill. I will say there is already a lot of pushback from fiscal hawks in the House about not meeting as many spending cuts as they had intended. Even in the SNAP piece of this bill, Senate Republicans ended up really dialing back what House Republicans had hoped. So they're cutting a lot less from SNAP than House Republicans had hoped. And on the other side, moderate Republicans are still quite nervous about the cuts to SNAP spending and Medicaid spending and the changes there in the bill. So it'll be interesting to watch if people fall in line, how those negotiations happen over the next couple of hours here.
Grace, thank you so much for the update. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Grace Yarrow is a food and agriculture policy reporter for Politico. She was with us to explain the Farm Bill provisions in the budget reconciliation bill that was passed by the Senate yesterday. It's now back in the House, as Grace said, and how Wisconsin farmers could be affected. Farming being a major economic driver for our state, Wisconsin home to over 58,000 farms. We want to hear about the impact of the Farm Bill on your farm operation, how crops are grown, what kind of crops you plant. Reach out to us with your story about farm policies, what provisions have touched your life personally. We also want to hear your thoughts on other policy issues in Wisconsin. Email us to get in touch at wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.